First, the gleaming trousers were pulled on, and zipped up fore and aft. Then it was the turn of the jacket. A wonderful piece of work, fitting tightly around the waist and possessing short sleeves about 6 inches long with powerful elastic gripping my biceps. Before I could get it on, I had to roll my shirt sleeves to the shoulder. Then Greer, heaving and straining, worked me into it. I could hear the zips squeaking into place, the final one being at the back of my neck to close a high, stiff collar, which held my head in an attitude of supplication, my chin pointing at the sky. Greer's heart really seemed to be in his work, and for the final touch, he produced a black rubber skull cap. I shrank away from the thing and began to mouth such objections as the collar would allow, but Greer insisted.
Stand still a wee bit longer. We might as well do the job right.
When he had finished, he stood back admiringly. I must have been a grotesque sight. Sheathed from head to foot in gleaming black, my arms bare to the shoulders, sticking out almost at right angles. Greer appeared well satisfied.
Well, come on. It's time to get on with the job.
He turned and hurried towards the buyer. I plodded ponderously after him, like an automaton. Our arrival in the buyer caused a sensation. There were present the farmer, two cowmen, and a little girl. The men's cheerful greeting froze on their lips as the menacing figure paced slowly, deliberately in. The little girl burst into tears and ran outside. Cleansing is a dirty, smelly job for the operator and a bore for the onlooker, who may have to stand around for 20 minutes without being able to see anything. But this was one time the spectators were not bored. Greer was working away inside the cow and mumbling about the weather, but the men weren't listening. They never took their eyes from me as I stood rigid like a suit of armor against the wall. They studied each part of the outfit in turn, wonderingly. I knew what they were thinking. Just what was going to happen when this formidable unknown finally went into action? Anybody dressed like that must have some tremendous task ahead of him. The intense pressure of the collar against my larynx kept me entirely out of any conversation, and this must have added to my air of mystery. I began to sweat inside the suit. The little girl had plucked up courage and brought her brothers and sisters to take a look at me. I could see the row of little heads peeping round the door, and, screwing my head round painfully, I tried to give them a reassuring smile, but the heads disappeared and I heard their feet clattering across the yard. I couldn't say how long I stood there, but Greer at last finished his job and called out,
"All right, I'm ready for you now."
The atmosphere became suddenly electric. The men straightened up and stared at me with slightly open mouths. This was the moment they had been waiting for. I pushed myself away from the wall and did a tight turn with some difficulty before heading for the tin of pessaries. It was only a few yards, but it seemed a long way as I approached it like a robot, head in the air, arms extended stiffly on either side. When I arrived at the tin, I met a fresh difficulty. I could not bend. After a few contortions, I got my hand into the tin, then had to take the paper off the pessary with one hand. A new purgatory. The men watched in fascinated silence. Having removed the paper, I did a careful about-turn and paced back along the byre with measured tread. When I came level with the cow, I extended my arm stiffly to Greer, who took the pessary and inserted it in the uterus. I then took up my old position against the wall while my colleague cleaned himself down. I glanced down my nose at the men. Their expressions had changed to open disbelief. Surely the mystery man's assignment was tougher than that. He couldn't be wearing that outfit just to hand over a pessary. But when Greer started the complicated business of snapping open the studs and sliding the zips, they realized the show was over. And fast on the feeling of letdown came amusement, as I tried to rub some life back into my swollen arms, which had been strangulated by the elastic sleeves, I was surrounded by grinning faces. They could hardly wait, I imagined, to get round to the local that night to tell the tale. Pulling together the shreds of my dignity, I put on my jacket and got into the car. Greer stayed to say a few words to the men, but he wasn't holding their attention. It was all on me, huddling in the seat. They couldn't believe I was true. Back at the surgery, the Border Terrier was coming out of the anaesthetic. He raised his head and tried bravely to wag his tail when he saw me. I wrapped him in a blanket, gathered him up, I was preparing to leave when I saw Greer through the partly open door of a small storeroom. He had the wooden box on a table and he was lifting out the rubber suit, but there was something peculiar about the way he was doing it. The man seemed to be afflicted by a kind of rigour. His body shook and jerked, the mottled face was strangely contorted, and a half-stifled wailing issued from his lips. I stared in amazement. I would have said it was impossible, yet it was happening right in front of me. There was not a shadow of a doubt about it. Angus Greer was laughing.